The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The Gospel of the Lord. Prepare the way of the Lord in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Each year, these words from John the Baptist ring out in the middle of Advent. And I have to say that as a child and even a young adult, what I understood about prepare the way of the Lord was you need to get the decorations up, you need to get the cookies and the baking done, you need to get the cards out and the presents wrapped. You've got to get really ready, everything done so that the baby can be born. And then I was actually reading the scriptures and realized that John is talking about Jesus not as an infant, but as an adult. And so I had to start rethinking all of what John was about. And I think that it's important for us to see, why is it, a couple of things, why is it that all four Gospels have these words of John? Why is it that in Advent, each year, we keep getting pulled back to these words of John, prepare the way of the Lord? What's going on with this way of the Lord that we're supposed to be about? And why is it so important? And so I started looking at what's going on. First off, John is a prophet. The people were going out to him because he told them to repent. Now, it's interesting that that was an attractive thing. You go and someone tells you, you're screwing up, you need to get things right, and hordes and droves of people are going out into the wilderness to hear this. But John was the first prophet in Israel in 400 years. And the people of Israel were suffering under the oppression of Rome, and they knew that things were not good, and they hadn't heard from God. And so when John begins to speak in the words of the prophets, and that was their basic message, it's like, okay, God is with us. God is still here. And they heard And the message that he had was the same message that the prophets had, the same message of Amos and Hosea and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel. Repent and return to the Lord. Turn around. Repent actually just means turn around. You're off the path. You're not on, and you're not in the way. Repent and return to the Lord. And John goes on, because the repentance is not just a kind of change of mind that's an internal. That internal change should have external manifestation. There should be fruit. You should be able to change, to see that there's been a change, that something is different. And it's not just in the individuals, it's also in the community. As the community repents and returns to the Lord and begins to embrace the ways of the Lord, the community looks different. And that's John's message and his call out. So this way of the Lord, it's a motif that runs through Scripture. We have the way of the Lord, the ways of the Lord, the way, Jesus says. This way, and if you start looking for it, you find a lot of it. You find it's shot through the Psalms, and this idea that there are ways that God acts, and we are called into that acting. Someone was talking about, you know, when you're in a relationship with someone, you know what they do. You begin to, but as the relation deepens, you know the ways, their ways. It's actually what makes it possible for comedy to happen, because it's not just you're doing what the person, you've got their ways, their manner. So that's a sense of really knowing a person. And the ways of the Lord are righteousness and truth, Scripture tells us. The ways of the Lord are the commandments and the call to care for the poor and to do justice. Remember from Scripture, Micah 6:8, what does the Lord require but that you do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God? This metaphor of walking. Israel understood itself to be walking with God on a journey. And the commandment, the word for commandment, the Hebrew word for commandment, the law, halakha, it has its base in walking. So there's something important going on with this, the ways of God, walking the way, preparing the way. And John calls the people to prepare the way of the Lord. And Matthew doesn't say the next part, but we know what it is, that the mountains will be brought down and the valleys will be filled up. So when we think about preparing the way of the Lord, what's the mountain of to-dos that's getting in way? What's the valley of desperation that's distracting us? And how do those begin to close so that the path is straight? Make straight, make the path, make it possible. You know, I wonder if sometimes God doesn't feel like it's I-85 at rush hour and he's trying to get there, but there's so much stuff that as God's coming, there's just no place in our lives. And so that way, preparing the way, allowing God to come, and then responding by walking in the ways. That double movement that is the movement that allows us to know that things are well and good. John, for all of his confrontation, for all of his bursting onto the scenes with words of judgment, the actual words he's speaking come from Isaiah chapter 40, where Isaiah begins, comfort, comfort you, my people. Tell them that their penance is paid. And in the wilderness, in the midst of all the things that look like desolation and abandonment and leaving us scared about what's happening, there's a voice crying, prepare the way of the Lord. Make it possible for God to come, because God is coming. Some of you know that about 6 months ago, I was walking on the way to Santiago, the El Camino de Santiago. It is a spiritual path that people have walked for 1,000 years. And it's really important to know why you're doing it, which was a question I hadn't answered. And so I kept, why? I trust people who've done this before have had enlightenment. So that's why I'm doing this. And about 3 days in, my feet hurt. I was thirsty. I was tired. I was sleeping in open dorms with people of various stages of dress and undress, taking showers that you waited for that dribbled onto you. And I'm looking for this spiritual enlightenment, and it's not coming. So I wound up in a small village outside of Pamplona. It's called Zalbadiki, at the Church of St. Stephen, run by the Sisters of the Sacred Heart. And it's known as a donativa. You give what you can. They don't charge. And they also have a meal. So it's a ministry. And after dinner, they invite you to come back into the church. The church was built in the 1300s on the foundations of a church from much earlier, so parts of it are over 800 years old. And go up these stone steps that so many have walked up to what we would call the choir loft, and this is where the sisters have gathered this group. And the first question is, why are you walking? And it was relieving to me to find out that other people had no idea why either. Some people had wonderful reasons, and that was inspiring. And then the sister who was leading went on to read from John 14:1-6. And she read it in English, in French, in German, and in Spanish. And in English, this is the portion where Jesus is gathered with his disciples at the end of his life, at the meal that is the precursor to his arrest and crucifixion. And he is talking with them and trying to say, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and you know the way to where I'm going. And Thomas kind of raises his hand and goes, excuse me, we've got no idea where you're going. How can we know the way? And now you know the next line, right? Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life, right? And so that gets read in French, which I understand, but I'm going to spare you, and German, which I don't understand, and Spanish, which I barely understand. And that last line goes like this, Yo soy el camino. La verdad y la veritas. El Camino. Jesus says, I'm the Camino? Well, this is getting interesting. So for about 2 weeks, I'm kind of thinking about this as I continue to walk and pray, and we have a variety of things happen, including my friend gets hurt and we need to go to the hospital. And so it is that I find myself on my own, walking across the Meseta, which is Iowa. It's fields as far as the eye can see. So there's no more cities, there's no more towns, there's no more cafes, there's no more bridges, there's no more water, there's just fields, day after day after day of walking in the fields. And it's hot. And did I mention that it's just walking. And I'm going along with this, and all of a sudden, it was this, Yo soy el camino. I am the way. I've been looking for Jesus on this way. I've been looking for a spiritual revelation, and Jesus was saying, I am the way. This is life. This is life. And sometimes life is fascinating and interesting and stressful, and sometimes it's just Iowa. And regardless, I am the way. To kind of grab that in Acts, Paul's talking to the Athenians and trying to talk to them about the living God, and he said, It's the one in whom we live and move and have our being. I am the way is that God is we are in God, living our lives in God. And sin then becomes when we fail to understand that and begin to move not so much outside of it, but outside of the understanding, and then we feel outside of it. We cannot connect with that. But I am the way has all these possibilities for hope and peace, no matter what's going on the way. See, I have always heard it as following the way. And that's in Scripture too, that we are following Jesus. But sometimes it seems to me that Jesus is way ahead. Like, he went around the bend and I can't see him, and I'm trying to hold on to, I'm following in the way, but so it's completely different understanding when Jesus says, I am the way. As you walk, I am the way that you are walking. And there's also some hope in that, because there's another way sometimes we get this, that God has a, how many have you heard of it? God has a plan for your life. And my question is, when I get off the plan, like, what happens? Does it keep going? And what did I miss? And how do I get there? And why is that God's plan seems to take me to some pretty dark places? But Jesus being the way, that means when sickness, when accidents, when tragedies, when weather events and unemployment, when all of that happens, God is with me. Carrying through, God doesn't put it upon me, but God is with me in it. God is this way that I'm walking. A Spanish poet, Antonio Machado, talks about that there really is no way except the way that you are walking. We make the path by walking, he says, and I've left a copy of his poem in the back. We make this relationship by being in the relationship with God. That is the way. That is the way. And then in that way, in those places of frustration and in those places where we can feel lost, we can hold on to the idea that we are in God. God is in us and with us through it, moving with us. And we don't have anything to fear. And that is where our hope lies, that Paul's talking about in today's gospel, in today's epistle. Our hope and our trust. The way. The way. John pulls this group of people together and he says, prepare the way. Preparing the way, walking in the way. Jesus is the way. There's a piece that comes from what John's saying about our responsibility then, being people of the way. That our walking doesn't get in the way of others being able to access God. That part of what we are also called is to be people who help prepare the way for others, for God to meet other people. And so we're called to make sure we're not building up the mountains between them and God, that we're actually helping reduce the obstacles, that we're not creating deeper valleys, deeper rifts that prevent people from accessing, but we're actually helping to bring that, to make the path straight, to level it, so that God can reach them at the point where they're ready to receive. It's a wonderful and incredible opportunity and responsibility that we are blessed with. And I hope, my hope, is that as you consider this idea of the way, that it will come to you in a way that brings you in touch with the living God and calls you back, calls you to repent. Because what I find is that being intentional means continuing to come around again, turn around when I have wandered off, when I am no longer living with that intentionality and sense of focus and purpose. Then the repentance is not a flagellation, but that invitation that says, I'm here. Come. Yo soy el camino.